Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Geopolitics and Conflict Breaking News. What's going on, Elizabeth?
Something very, very interesting is going on, and that is that Elon Musk is in a little bit of a spat with Senator Elizabeth Warren. And this is much bigger than sort of the Twitter spat, but in it, he brought a little bit of humor into the situation by calling her Senator Karen, which honestly, I think that was pretty funny. Hmm. But he called her Senator Karen because she accused him of not paying his fair share of taxes, which he fought back with, saying that this year he's going to be paying $11 billion in taxes. That's wow. Not nothing.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had a chance to see her tweet when she posted, yeah. And I quote, "Let's change the rigged tax code so the person of the year," which means in a reference to Elon Musk because he was on the Time magazine as person of the year, "will actually pay taxes and stop freeloading off everyone else." Really?
Mm-hmm. She did in fact call him a freeloader. So here's the thing about that.
Yeah.
There are a couple of really important pieces of it. First of all, do you want to dive in with me, David, into the budget deficit and the spending that the United States government has created over the last couple of years? Because I think the story is really about that.
Yeah, sure. That will be of interest to our viewers, whether even mainly the ones here in the United States, but also to our viewers overseas. So that will be very important.
Okay, so what I'm about to show you guys is called, here it is, the U.S. Debt Clock, usdebtclock.org, if you guys want to check it out on your own. So what it is, it's a real-time counter of what debts we have, what taxpayers are paying, all of it in real time. So there's a couple of things that I want to bring up. The first is, so Senator Warren's argument basically is that, you know, we need to tax the rich. And AOC is also talking about that. Bernie Sanders has been talking about it for a really long time. Here's the problem with taxing the rich. Look at our national debt. Our national debt number right here, and then the U.S. federal budget deficit. Let's even look at the federal budget deficit alone. If the handful of billionaires that exist in the United States, which, you know, in its own way, there's a problem, severe problem with income inequality. But right now, there's a handful of billionaires. If they were taxed extremely heavily, which I would say $11 billion is a lot of money. And I know that Elon Musk is worth a lot. So that's why he's paying $11 billion. But if you look at this number, David, where does that $11 billion, how much does it help?
Yeah.
Almost none.
Nothing.
And so if every billionaire in the United States was taxed heavily, it wouldn't even touch the budget deficit. Not really. Looking at how big it is, this is a much, much bigger problem. Then you go down and you look at Social Security liability, Medicare liability, and U.S. unfunded liabilities. Look at this number. Look at these numbers.
Wow.
The liability per citizen in the United States is $485,000 per citizen.
Wow. Mm. So yeah, and this is why those most Americans, you know, have no clue. And this is where, you know, those damn politicians, they keep saying these things. They don't mean it, you know, because an average Joe or average Jane will be hearing coming out of the politician's mouth, we're going to have to tax the rich. It doesn't mean a thing. It's because the tax system is broken to begin with. You know, what are you taxing average citizens over 30% when you are allowing millionaires and billionaires to be paying only between 14 and 17 or 18%? That's the discrepancy right there.
Absolutely. And, you know, and you look at all of these politicians and they themselves are not paying a lot in taxes. So to be clear, you know, you're looking at politicians using their status and their pull to not pay very much in taxes themselves while creating deals with, you know, the contractors who get these jobs. But, you know, Elon Musk's argument, I think, overall is a bigger highlight of the real problem is putting that money in the hands of the government is not necessarily better. And I want to explore that argument for a second, because you might say, well, you know, they need to pay their fair share. Okay, I absolutely agree with that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And taxing Americans who make honestly not very much money, you know, 30-40% if you compile state taxes on top of federal taxes. Mm-hmm. So charging them that much reduces our quality of life. I mean, we're included in that, right? So it reduces our quality of life enormously. But ultimately, is the government responsible in their spending?
And the answer is, I would say the answer is no, because it's not their money. They're not going to care.
Right.
You know, you look at no further than the defense budget, you know. I worked in Washington, D.C., so I have an understanding, if I may share this briefly with our viewers. Yeah. When you look at the invoice for the defense contractors for items, you take, for example, the regular wrench. Well, how much wrench costs? If you go to Walmart or Target, how much we pay for it? Like 10 bucks.
10 bucks?
Yeah, 12 yeah. bucks. You know.
Yeah.
When you see the numbers of the invoice, it goes above $250. Why? It's because it's not their money. You know, it's taxpayers' money. And mm-hmm. shame on those politicians that they are not thinking of that average person who's putting over 40 hours working his, you know what I mean?
I do.
To help his family and becoming and taxing him and her above 30%. So they need to fix the tax system first before they open their mouth.
Yes, yes. And that's, I very much appreciate that point, David, because that's what I think Elon is actually trying to say here. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. that, you know, the biggest issue needs to be to rein in the spending first. The US government needs to rein in its spending. And so, you know, we talk a little bit about Build Back Better. And the, you know, I'm going to, on locals, I'm going to break down some of the wording that's used to convince people that Build Back Better was a good thing, because mm-hmm. Senator Manchin kind of nixed that one.
Exactly.
But people are still sort of fighting for Build Back Better. But the problem with Build Back Better is that it would cost, I think, $3 trillion. So it's not balancing that budget. And one of the things that Elon Musk brought up is that if the United States was a corporation, it would have gone bankrupt a really long time ago. And the reason it hasn't gone bankrupt is because of this money printing. But you can't print money indefinitely, especially if what you're doing is spending more and more money. And so I think the argument there is that he is trying to bring manufacturing back to the United States, having us produce things again. Because right now we don't, most of our production is actually elsewhere. It's in China, it's in India, it's all over Southeast Asia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so one of our biggest problems is that we don't produce things here. And so bringing that back would bolster our economy and have us create a solid foundation here instead of the mass money printing that's just paying people to stay home, paying people not to work. Well, those eventually go away. And yeah. right now, the child tax credit is going away. Well, those people have been reliant on that money for, what, 2 years? A year, 2 years?
Yeah.
And so that money is going to get taken away from them. And ultimately, you know, the argument is, oh, don't take it away because children will suffer. Well, that's true. But you also have to find a different solution, like producing things, like working, like figuring it out, because we have the largest labor shortage, maybe in history. I think actually in history.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of people are wondering what's going on with America. Well, we don't know. You know, we say it straightforward as Americans who are, you know, we've seen what's going on. It's the failed policies, economic and fiscal, and you name it. It just the government sort of, you know, it's just the quality of the policies emanating from Washington, D.C. do not serve the interest of the American people. That's the bottom line to it. And politicians are finding it, you know, convenient. This is where I argue, and this is my personal opinion, this is where I argue for term limits on members of Congress. I don't care how great you are. You know, you serve limited terms, you get out, bring fresh ideas, bring new people. You know, you got members in Congress over 30 years. Once again, as I always say, what can you do in 30 that you couldn't do in 10?
Right. I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, you see a lot of these long-term Congress members have really lost touch.
Yeah.
And right. Senator Warren is one of them who really has sort of lost touch with the average person. You know, there's a lot of talk about making sure you take care of the poor. Well, that doesn't seem to be happening because the quality of life for people who are poor in the United States is going down even further, and that's already very hard, but it's bringing a lot more people into that category, exactly. Into the category of poverty. And that should be no one's goal. It should be the goal of the government to alleviate poverty and to alleviate, you know, suffering for its people. The government, technically, we hired them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get, like you were talking about, you stay in Congress for so long and you lose touch with what it's like to be a regular person.
Yeah. And that is also, yeah, because even those politicians themselves, they're not going to agree, for example, or amending a legislation that will limit their powers.
Yeah, of course.
They're not going to do it. So the system, will be fair to say, the system is corrupted from within. So that's where one of the issues for us, till we fix that, you know, we're going to be just spinning, because that's been the norm in Washington forever. And politicians, because lobbyists have the politicians in their pocket. We all know the truth for that.
Yeah.
But who's suffering is the average Joe and average Jane that they are asking themselves a year from today. Did anything change for me? Or am I the same way today that I was a year ago?
Right.
Yeah, and people are working hard, but they are not moving up. Our problems in America is we are not, when I say in America, I'm talking about the government. We are not willing to recognize and acknowledge that there is no upward mobility in this society. So the American dream becomes what? It's an illusion.
Yes. Yes.
It becomes an illusion. And it is time for Americans to wake up. We always keep saying this. You know, I almost feel like I'm beating the dead horse here because I've always saying this. But it is time for Americans to wake up and see the reality for what it is. Because once again, do we live in a true what we call democracy, or are we living in an illusion of a democracy?
And that's the thing. I think we're living in the illusion of a democracy. So I posted on my Twitter. By the way, follow us on Twitter. David is at Diwalalu. I'm at Alchemy of E. But I posted on my Twitter the other day that there's a fight going on right now because in, I think it's Wisconsin, maybe, or Minnesota, one of those two states. So what's going on right now is they found that over 100,000 voters had been registered and actively voting for over 100 years. That's not real. No one has been actively voting for over 100 years.
Actively.
Right. But that's the thing. That it's not just that they've been actively voting for over 100 years. And so so they're sort of diving into whether that's true and what's happening with that right now. But if you look at that, you know, you say, oh, well, you know, why don't you just vote different people in? Well, I can tell you those voters who have been actively voting for over 100 years, somebody is voting for them.
For them, yeah.
And that's in one place. I mean, imagine that that's happening all over the place. And so what does your voice really mean in that context? And so, you know, people like Elon Musk, I guess going back to this, back to the sort of Twitter feud between Elon Musk and Senator Warren, you know, people like Elon Musk, and I'm not saying Elon's done everything perfect. There is some things that I think that he's done that's a little bit, you know, a little bit questionable. But the point that he's making about bringing industry and helping build corporations, build manufacturing here. Now, there's two sides to that, right? Because, you know, corporations like Walmart pay their employees, there's a certain percentage of their employees that are homeless because they pay their employees so low. I think there was like a tweet or something on social media where Walmart was bragging about building houses for their homeless employees. Well, if your employees are working full time, they should be able to afford a home. So there's that part of large corporations. But even Walmart is not necessarily in manufacturing. They're not in producing goods. They're not in producing actual, sorry guys for just hitting that. They're not into producing anything. And so when you bring production back to the United States, which I don't know whether that's going to happen or not, but Elon Musk is bringing, I mean, he's hiring mass amounts of people. He's producing his stuff here in the United States, not all of it, but some of it, that gives us the opportunity to have something foundational back in the United States. So the argument of help, of giving that money or keeping that money with people who are good at allocating it, basically, I understand in his case why that's the case. There are other people that I absolutely do not agree with that being the case. George Soros is one of them. I think if you do any amount of digging on him, you find that he allocates his resources in some less than savory ways. So I think that argument goes both directions, but I think the argument ultimately is for creating more meaningful work, more meaningful jobs, and more productive jobs here is actually a really solid argument. Now, every wealthy person is not doing that, and every corporation is not doing that. Large corporations we shouldn't trust them. Just straight up, we should not trust large corporations. But giving that money to the government, which is the greater bad? Which is the greater bad here? Because both options actually sound pretty terrible.
Yeah. Well, if you ask me personally, I won't give the government money because it's not theirs. They are not going to spend it responsibly. And that is why you see the fiscal policies that they are so poorly managed, poorly executed, and they have no sort of long-term objective whatsoever. This is why our debt is going up every year, and someone will have to pay for that one way or another. So
right. And unfortunately, I think the answer to that is us.
Exactly.
If, as you can see, by the US debt clock, that's a lot for each of us.
It is indeed. That makes you just wonder about the value of the currency moving forward. I mean, we all know the value of the US dollar is going to go down as the more printing we do, as the less valuable the US dollar. And given the inflation, of course, and given other issues with the economy. So it would be interesting to see how things are going to look between now and next year.
I agree. And I would love to keep a very hopeful, positive outlook. I don't know whether that's that's going to be true or not, but there are a lot of smart people that are really starting to speak up about what's happening in the economy, because ultimately the economy affects all of us, and the economy of the United States affects the entire world. So you know, unless things shift around, I don't necessarily personally, this is my personal opinion, I don't see the US economy cratering, because if it just craters and we default on all of our loans and all of that, I don't see other countries being okay with that. So I sort of think we're going to keep going. A lot of smart people call it kicking the can down the road, but I don't know how long that can happen. I want to bring up two more things about this argument and the between Senator Warren and Elon Musk. I want to bring up one of them about the sort of not accusation, but the, well, maybe accusation about Tesla getting government subsidies. So I want to bring to everyone's attention something called buying carbon credits. So, you know, the whole carbon neutral thing, what ends up happening is that some companies cannot become green. And so they purchase carbon credits from companies that are able to be green. And mm-hmm. so they can say they're carbon neutral when the truth is their actual productions are not carbon neutral. They just purchase those carbon credits. So other manufacturers, other auto manufacturers are actually purchasing those from Tesla because they have a surplus and other manufacturers have not made the necessary adjustments to do that themselves. So this is a rampant thing. So when you see a company that says we're carbon neutral or green, that doesn't necessarily mean that their productions are. That means mm-hmm. they're purchasing it. That could mean that they're purchasing it from somebody else. So there's an argument to be made for, you know, that being a good thing, because at least money is going towards companies that are green. But it seems a bit disingenuous to me personally. To say that, you know, you're green or neutral when that isn't the case. And I would like to bring up Elizabeth Warren is saying that she's Native American. So here in the United States, there are allowances that are made because there are people here who have been seriously wronged or legitimately are underprivileged. And using the claim of being Native American, when she actually did take a DNA test, and although she is a very small percentage Native American, it turns out that if she were classified as Native American, tens of millions of other Americans would be also. Like, it's such a small percentage that a lot of other people would be considered Native American when they aren't. But I think the sort of understanding there is that that was utilized to get her further along than she would have been had she been honest about who she is.
So she was using the system to her advantage. Yeah. Well, that's
yes.
What's new about that when it comes down to politicians? So
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so the idea of which, by the way, you mentioned about George Soros. We will talk about that in details on locals, because there are some stuff needs to be mentioned, and we'd like our members on locals to know where do we stand on that issue and what information we have about that one. So, anything else to add before we leave?
Just check us out on geopolitics.locals.com. I'm going to be doing. The first, and David is going to be doing one too, but I'll be doing the first sort of exclusive locals thing. So in Europe, grasshoppers, crickets, and I think worms have been officially classified as food. And although I'm not going to argue that it's not food, I think they're high in protein. There are other things that are valuable about them. It's sort of the beginning of a transition in terms of standard of life or quality of life or what we consider normal. So I'm going to talk about that at geopolitics.locals.com.
Exactly. And tomorrow we're going to be doing our Q&A at 1100 hours. And on Friday, we're going to be doing our live stream at 1100 hours. So for those who have not checked out our membership yet, please make sure to go to geopoliticsinconflict.com and see what we offer as far as the sort of the perks and the programs we offer on that membership. Speaking of that membership, we will have a presentation for our members about the U.S.-China race for AI and what does it mean for the future of the global order, shall we say, because AI is going to impact us more ways than we can imagine, and it can go both directions, the good and the bad. So,
absolutely.
And, so as always, we hope this update or this breaking news just brings you some info about what's going on between Elon Musk and Elizabeth Warren. And we hope you always stay informed, and we shall see you next time. Till next time, guys. Bye-bye.